There is an internal struggle that maybe you can resonate with that we often carry around in our lives. Now, this can come out a lot in our relationships, especially when it has to do with our close relationships. But today we talk about it in the context of God and his salvation and belonging to God. We carry this idea when it comes to salvation. Maybe you've asked, maybe you're there right now, am I really saved? Or am I just hoping I am? Maybe there's some fears around that that sound familiar that maybe you've said in some form, like, what if I mess this all up? Not that anyone in the room messes anything up at any time. Does God still want me after what I've done? Can I lose what God started in my life? And maybe some deeper ones like, what if I don't make it? Or how do I know that my faith is real? Maybe this picture reminds you of something. Maybe it also shows my age of a daisy. And you might remember what this does. You know the next thing to do. The first pluck is the second one. And you just keep going around until you hope that you land on he, she loves me. And if it doesn't work out in your favor, you do it again anyways, right? I'm sure many have played that game if you're, and there's some history to it as well, I discovered. But think about this spiritually. I remember when I was a youth, our youth group actually did a little skit around this. But like we spiritually pull these petals off. Trying to figure out where we stand with God. He loves me, he loves me not. I think Whitney Houston sang a song, How Will I Know If He Really Loves Me? And she talked about that little game. And honestly, a lot of believers, and if you don't know who Whitney Houston is, I don't know what to say, you know, but a lot of believers quietly ask the same thing about God, which is very sad. How will I know? How can I be sure of all this? And how do I know that I'm really his? And that deeper tension can go even deeper because we long for security in relationships, but we live often with uncertainty. We want some assurance, but we feel fragile in it. We want to belong, but honestly, many of us fear rejection. So what do? We strive to prove that we belong. And we've said it here many times, it can become exhausting. We sometimes doubt that they ever did love us. Sometimes we just drift off. And in God's case, we ignore the Spirit altogether. And we've been talking about, because we're Trinitarian in our belief, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, this beautiful three persons, one God. And we drift when we ignore the Spirit of God altogether. So the real question, the deeper and just trying to get down to some root things, is my relationship with God secure? Or is it all up to me? It's a horrifying thought. I understand that. Many of us do, so I'm sure this is not unfamiliar with many of you when we wrestle with assurance. Growing up, basically between birth and 62 that I am now, there are seasons where I question where I stood with God. Every failure makes me wonder, did I disappoint God too much this time? Every struggle, am I even really saved? Nights Maybe some of you like this have replayed the conversations, replayed the sins you committed, replayed your failures, thinking, what if I'm just fooling myself with all of this? Now for me, it came down to, it's not that I didn't believe in Jesus. That didn't seem to be the problem, although there's struggles with that. But insecurity, and I don't know if you deal with this, you don't have to raise your hand and take a poll here, but I would assume many do just by nature of how humanity is. Insecurity has a way of making us think that grace is very fragile. And maybe some of you know exactly what that feels like. You love God. That's not the question. But you still feel and live anxious. You believe, but you still fear. You worship song and prayer, but underneath it all, there's still this quiet, or honestly, for some of us, loud insecurity. Am I really His? And into that tension, God speaks. And He does it throughout Scripture, but our main one today is found in Ephesians 1, 13 through 14. These verses today, if we could grasp them, and God get it into us, these verses that we will share are very powerful, not that any of them aren't every Sunday. But it says this is from the NIV, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth." What is that truth? The gospel of your salvation, all about Jesus. And it says, when you believed, here it is, you were marked in Him with a seal. Ooh. And what is that seal? The promised Holy Spirit. Who is a deposit, keep that in mind, guaranteeing. I always think of Charles Barkley if you've watched any basketball stuff. But our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory. Wow, there's a lot in there. This is not just symbolic, poetic language. Paul is using language that is legal, relational, and deeply, honestly, personal. People listening in the ancient world, they would have understood this imagery. They would picture a seal. Here's one of many types of seals that you would see in this photo. A scroll. And whether clay or hot wax pressed on to the ropes tying to seal it. You'd find seals, and they have discovered, if you want to do a little dive into it, many biblical seals, during biblical times, some of them referencing scripture that proves again what we have is true, one of the many places it does that. And they find these seals, they'd often be on a ring, and then it would be pressed into it from a king or someone in authority. Or maybe it'd be on a necklace, and they would use it the same way. Picture this ancient letter. Rolled up tightly, tied with the cord, hot wax or clay over the seam, and then a king would take his signet ring and press it into it, and on that image would be the image that he wanted that represented him. The seal mattered. And we'll reflect on this multiple times. What did it communicate? You'll see it in a little bit. Authority, ownership, security, authenticity. And we heard it in that scripture, a guarantee. Livestock, documents, even tombs you might think of in scripture were sealed, marked. And here's the key truth. This was very interesting to me that I didn't even think about. Very important that nothing sealed itself. always sealed by the one in authority. And Paul says, and the Bible teaches all over the place, that's what the Holy Spirit is for the believer. God didn't just forgive you. It's important. He did when we come to him. He is not just tolerating you. And I feel that sometimes. Barely tolerating me. It says he sealed you. Seal on that letter said, this is mine. This is protected. This will arrive where it is intended to go. And here's what's beautiful. What Scripture teaches us, you're that letter. The Holy Spirit is that seal. Think about this in your notes. God didn't just save you. I mean, praise God for that. He marked you. This idea runs all through the Bible. Here's just a few. From the beginning, God marked what belonged to him. You'll see in the very beginning how it's interesting, not a teaching for today, but Cain was marked under God's protection. We see in the Passover how blood covered the doorposts at the Passover to mark this place as God's, this people as God's. Jesus himself, it will say in Scripture, was sealed by the Father. And now we read, and we'll read more, believers are sealed with the Holy Spirit. And here's this great, beautiful movement of God in Scripture. Under the old covenant, the signs were external, but we have been learning under the new covenant that God places his Spirit within us, within you and me. It's not just a symbol on you. It's his presence in you. So the very places then, if this is all true, and I believe it is, and the very places where we fear the most, they seem to be the places, at least my experience has been, where the Holy Spirit speaks a deeper assurance to. Because when God seals a life, he speaks identity over in security. So one of the many things that we will see is it tells us, this Holy Spirit, God himself marking us, sealing us, who we are, whose we are, and where our future is headed. So if God sealed you, what does that seal say about you? Well, let me give you just today, we could probably have a long discussion about this, but five things the Holy Spirit declares over you. Five things that these scriptures teach us. Number one, it declares over us authority because you carry God's name. This answers the question that we said earlier, what if I mess this all up? Because your relationship with God is no longer built on your perfection, but on his name placed on your life. The moment you believed, the moment you surrendered your life to him and declared, I receive what you have done for me. I repent of my sin. I need a Savior. Jesus, you are my Savior. And now I'm going to follow you. You're sealed. Listen to me, not later. Not after you matured. Like you got to arrive somewhere before he claims you. Not once you got your life together. Good luck with that one, right? It's the moment you believed, the moment you surrendered, said, I'm going to follow Jesus, you're sealed. The Holy Spirit upon your life means this. You carry his name, not your past. You're no longer defined primarily by your failures, your addiction, your shame, your old identity. You carry the name of God. But the seal didn't just communicate authority. It also communicated possession. So number two is ownership. This says, the seal says, the Holy Spirit says, you belong to God. And this answers the question we said earlier, does God still want me after what I've done? Because the seal says, you're not abandoned, you are claimed. Look at Galatians 4, 6 and 7. Beautiful. And because, and man, circle that, we are his children. God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us then to call out, Abba, Father, my God. Now, this is beautiful, you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. There, he says it again. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir. Listen to that language. You're not a slave, you're family, his child. Even though we'll say here, we're trying to become more like Jesus, so we're learning to be with him, become more like him so we can do what he did. In this case, you're not trying to become his. It says you are his. You've already been claimed as his own, able to call out to him, Father, I need your help. You belong to God. And if something belonged to a king, then the king protected what belonged to him. This is then number three, security. You are secure in God. And this answers that question we asked earlier, can I lose what God started? And you can go down a rabbit hole of security, losing your salvation. But let me just say these things. Can I lose what God started? Your salvation rests on his grip, not yours. Seals protected against tampering. That was one of the ideas. There's an interesting, like if you look at seals, you'll see a couple things in there. Like if you might remember Daniel's den in the lions, remember that, was sealed. And then if you think Jesus' tomb was sealed. But don't miss this irony. They sealed Jesus' tomb, but that could not stop him. No earthly seal could ever overpower resurrection life. And if death itself could not hold Christ, nothing can overpower God's grip on your life. This is a hard one for us to grasp because we don't find it in humanity much. Romans 8, 35 through 39. If you have not memorized this, this would be a great place to start as far as, man, ownership, authority, security. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean that he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? No. Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ, who loved us. And then look at this. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today or our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Those are powerful words. But that doesn't mean life won't be hard. But it does mean failure does not remove his seal. Struggle doesn't remove his seal. Weakness doesn't remove his seal. We find security in him. But then we see this. The Spirit is not only a seal. It says in Scripture that he's also a guarantee then. This is that idea that God will finish what he started. And this answers the fear beneath all the others. What if I don't make it? So Paul writes to the church, and he uses the word arhabon. It means a down payment, a deposit guaranteeing future completion. 2 Corinthians 1, 21 through 22. This is from the ESV. And it is God who establishes us with you in Christ. That establishes peace, very important. And then he's anointed us. Wow, beautiful. Thank you, God. And who has also put his seal on us and given us his Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Paul says the Spirit is God's guarantee. It's not wishful thinking. It's not religious optimism. It's not saying, man, I hope I'm saved. I hope this works out. It's a guarantee. God doesn't start salvations he doesn't finish. This gives me a lot of hope for all of those out there that we continue to pray for that need Jesus. This should give hope to parents who do not give up and beg God for their child's salvation. Or those that seem to have gone down to the worst place, knowing that God can redeem and bring them to the best, him. And you know what is proof of that to me? You. Some of you have experienced this. You know the voice of the enemy in your life and others that said you'll never amount to anything. There is no hope for you. But God, because of what you've done in response to what he's done for you, placed a seal on you. And he will finish what he started. I believe that. If he began the work, then he intends to complete it. And then Paul brings this deeply personal to a place that goes even more to the heart of what God wants to do. Because some people hear all of this and still think, how do I even know this is all real for me? Well, this leads us to number 5, authenticity. Your faith is real. It answers the question, how do I know my faith is real? Romans 8, 16. For his Spirit joins with our spirit to then affirm that we are God's children. I believe that the Spirit speaks to you. I believe that throughout the week he convicts you and I, that he is often drawing us to him. So sometimes you'll even find that at your worst, he is entering into your life to draw you back to him. It may be rough and hard. It may come through tough experiences. It may come through hard voices to hear, but his intent is to bring you home. This is the prodigal son. We've talked about this. You know what? I'm going home. I don't know if I got a place anymore with my father, but I'm going back. I got nowhere else to go. I read this every day in my little liturgy. I come to this place and it just says from the disciples in the Gospels, where else would I go? You hold the keys to eternal life, Jesus. I know others have abandoned you. I'm not. I got nowhere else to go. This is Peter jumping off the boat in his denial multiple times and swimming to shore because he catches a glimpse of Jesus. And on the story goes. His spirit affirms the spirit in us and reminds us, you are mine. You belong to me. That struggle you feel, the conviction and longing for God that you desire, it's not weakness, that's evidence. Dead hearts don't long for God. The fact that you still care, and this matters for something I want to address in just a moment, that you still care, that you still wrestle, that you still feel conviction, it's evident that the Spirit is at work within you. I am not declaring you perfect, but this shows me through what he has said. This is a Holy Spirit encounter that he has with us. And yet, hear me, after hearing all of that, and I experience these things too, we still struggle to believe it. Because assurance is deeper than a feeling. Sometimes your feelings lag behind what God has already declared. You can be fully sealed. You're saved, but you still struggle to feel secure in that. You're claimed, but you still question. You're secure, but you still fear all these things. Why? Because, let's just be honest, we are in a spiritual battle and there is another voice speaking. And when we forget what God has declared, this is when accusations seem to get louder. Externally, but often more internally. Think about this. It's in your notes. The enemy doesn't try to remove the seal. I mean, he could try all he wants. But he's up against someone who it just won't work. But he does try to convince you it isn't there. So run back through it again with me. Authority, the enemy whispers, you mess this up, you'll always be your past. But God says, I've sealed you, you carry my name. Ownership. The enemy whispers, God doesn't really want you anymore. God's done with you. But God says, you belong to me. I know those who are mine. Security. The enemy whispers, you're going to lose this. But God says, you're secure. Nothing can separate you from my love. Guarantee. The enemy whispers, you'll never make it. You're going to fall away. But God says, I will finish what I started. My spirit is your guarantee. And authenticity. When the enemy whispers, your faith isn't real. This was never genuine. God says, my spirit bears witness within you. You are my child. But when we believe the enemy's lies, we begin to resist the very spirit trying to assure us. So there's a little another flip side to this. Maybe you're here today and you've experienced this. So my prayer is that some freedom happens in it. There is, though, a grief and sorrow of the Holy Spirit. As a third person of the Trinity, because we believe that the Holy Spirit is this beautiful, miraculous thing, it seems to me then, but what we've seen so far, that there are feelings involved. There's sorrow to have, grief that is given. Look at Ephesians 4:30. And don't grieve, the writer writes to the Ephesians, to us. Don't grieve God's Holy Spirit. You were sealed by him for the day of redemption. Notice he doesn't say you lost the seal, but he does say that you can grieve the Spirit. In the New Living Translation, which we use often here, it will say you grieve, but you bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. You don't break the seal, but there is a wounding of the relationship. So if you believe, and I do, that God is, you know, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and like Jesus, grieved, mourned, was sad, there is an element of God himself in the Spirit that probably has a lot of sorrow and grief for the way we're living against what he says about us. I think when I fight him and I listen to the enemy's voice that says, you're not enough, you're not loved, it makes him sad that I would live this way. It breaks his heart. It's like Jesus looking over Jerusalem, the city, and grieving for the people, knowing what he has for them, knowing what he will do for them, and yet seeing that many will not respond, or some, like even put Peter in there. Do you not think there's sorrow given for Peter as he tells him, you'll deny me 3 times, and Peter says, I'll never do that. And then he says, if you know that story in the gospel, hey, Peter, I'm praying for you. There's an element of prayer that comes from grieving and sorrow. It doesn't mean that he's abandoned and left and kicked out. But we grieve and bring sorrow to him when we continually ignore his voice, when we resist his leading, when we harden ourselves to his presence. Now think about this, not to create fear in you, but to recognize what it says. A little clarity on a hard part in there. Jesus will give a serious warning about that resistance when we do it completely to the Holy Spirit. This is horrifying. He speaks about blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And I don't want to leave this hanging or get about 50 emails on this. So I thought I'll just address it with you. Matthew 12, 31 through 32. Jesus said, I tell you, every sin and blasphemy can be forgiven, except blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, which will never be forgiven. Well, that's a little strong, isn't it, after what I just told you? Anyone who speaks against the Son of Man can be forgiven, but anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven, either in this world or in the world to come. You know, when I first became a Christian, I thought I've done that. I've done it. And if you said, well, what'd you do? I don't know. I think I cursed the Holy Spirit or something. I'm done. I'm gone. It's over. And a lot of people you will find in a deep place panic. Did it? What if I committed it? And I get, what, are you going to get up into heaven one day? And God goes, man, you were nailing it, except you blasphemed the Holy Spirit, so you're out. But we can laugh about it, but we live that way. Listen carefully, and you can write me some emails, or you can figure it out with me if you have some other thoughts with it. And I don't, it's not a teaching on all of this, but it needs to be addressed in this context. Blasphemy against the Spirit is not a careless moment you have. Oops. It's not a bad thought. It's not even a season of rebellion. What I do believe it is a settled, ongoing rejection of the Spirit's work, a hardened heart that no longer wants or sees Jesus necessary. The cross, repentance at all. It's just a rejection of God completely. Doesn't exist, I don't need it. And then that's how they live the rest of their life. So let me just free some of you up a little bit, because if there is someone in here that thinks they did it and you're sitting in church today, please hear. If you're worried about it, you haven't committed it. The very fact that you care, the very fact that conviction still exists in your life means the Spirit is still drawing you. So there's an invitation from the Holy Spirit. Maybe one of the reasons, and many others, that God brought you here today that you showed up, or you're listening later on or online, is because he doesn't want you living like an orphan when you've already been sealed as his child. Not just to teach you about a seal, the seal, but to reassure you that you are his. So there's three invitations and then a bunch of other stuff that I'll share with you. Just for a minute. Instead of continually striving, one of the things that I would encourage us to do is to just start trusting. You're not holding on to God, he's holding on to you. But striving will kill us. Receive and trust what he has done for you and your response to what he has done for you. Just continually come back to that. Learn to trust. Two, instead of doubting, start receiving. The Spirit is already drawing you. Some of you in here, he's already assuring you. Wow, you heard that. You read that scripture with me. You're listening to some point that stood out to you. He is assuring you and reminding you. And listen, his Spirit bearing witness with yours that this is true. Start receiving that. Believing that. Instead of resisting, start responding. Don't grieve what God has given. You know what I've really come in reading that scripture about grieving, or how it makes the Holy Spirit sad? Like, that really impacted me. I never looked at it really that way, because I was looking at it like, I just don't want God to be mad at me. But he's really just saying, I'm mad at you. I deeply love you. It makes me sad that you don't believe that. Start responding as you hear those. Lean into that voice. So maybe you hear yourself in one of those places. Do I belong to God? Believe the gospel, the good news of Jesus. Receive him if you haven't, and what he's done for you. Be sealed by his Spirit. If you're anxious, wondering, am I secure? Rest in that, not your performance. If you're drifting from God, you've been ignoring him. Return, re-engage, respond to whatever he's saying. And if you're weary or hardened and just saying, I don't feel much anymore, man, I feel lost, hear me, the invitation is still open. The Father is saying, come home. Because of the Holy Spirit, you belong. We don't need to have identity confusion. You're secure. It's not a fear of losing him. You can be assured. No life ruled by constant doubt. Man, we need that. You're being transformed. And you're headed somewhere. A guaranteed future that he has given you. So why still live uncertain? Why still question what God has already declared? The worship team can come. Why still live like this daisy from the beginning that we remember? Like, he loves me not. He loves me not. Oh, crud, I guess I'm out. Time to go home and eat. Like, we're always wondering, where do I stand with God? Wondering if I've failed too much, wandered too far, become too weak. The Holy Spirit as a seal settles that question. God has decided it. Listen to his voice and authority over your life. When fear speaks in there, remember, you carry his name. When shame says, does God still want me? Seal says, you belong to him. When anxiety says, can I lose this? Seal says, you're secure. When weakness says, what if I don't make it? Well, God will finish what he started. My faith isn't even real. And that Spirit, again, is bearing witness right now within you over every fear, and may it do that over every fear, over every accusation, over every insecure place in your life, in my life. Hear God speak and say, Isaiah 43:1, do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I've called you by name. and you are mine. Would you stand with me? Father, today, wow, you have sealed us and you have declared an authority. You have declared all these beautiful things. Ownership. You have declared security. Guaranteed. And you have declared that it's authentic. This is real. So I pray that we receive that today. Wherever there's a dead heart, may it respond to your spirit, inviting them to real new life. If there is someone here that doesn't know you, has never heard this before, maybe, wow, this is the day to surrender their life to you, may they do that. For those that are living in just a very insecure place with you, I pray that you would speak that security into them and reassure who they are, that they are your child. And any other place we need it for that matter, Father. Help us when we hear those voices of the enemy to not listen, but to reorient ourselves back to you and what you say about us. And may we remember that nothing can separate us from your love. In Jesus' name, amen.